John Perryman is a pediatrician with Mercy Health in Roscoe. He's also the Northern Illinois co-president of Physicians for National Health Program, or PNHP. The organization supports single-payer insurance, also known as Medicare for All. In this scenario, the government handles the expenses, so private plans become obsolete.
It really wasn't on my radar until, honestly, the Bernie Sanders campaign. And I started listening to it and thinking about it, and it made sense to me. And as I started researching more and getting involved with groups like PNHP and some other groups, and you see the data that's there, it's just compelling.
Were there instances that you had seen on how your patients directly would benefit?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of patients who sometimes have trouble affording medications. That is a frequent problem. I've seen some patients who've had major financial problems because of hospitalizations or things of that nature. Sometimes I'll lose a family for a while and they come back in and they were uninsured for a period of time. So I directly see it in my practice.
How do you explain to the average patient how this is different? I mean, why would they care? What's their experience going to be that's different?
Okay. What their experience would be with single payer is that they can choose to go wherever they want. You know, currently most insurers have networks where you're limited with where you can go, which hospitals you can go to, what drugs you can get, etc. That all goes away. So one would be that they wouldn't be limited with where they could go. They could choose to see whoever they want to. The second is they have no out-of-pocket expenses. They don't have a copay. They don't have a deductible, anything like that. And that's really important because that ends up limiting the amount of care that's used if the out-of-pocket expenses are too high.
Where's the money going to come from?
Right. We spend now over $10,000 per person per year, so it's about $3.3 trillion a year now. And as a percentage of GDP, we're at about almost 18%, whereas most other countries are 11 to 12%. So we're spending about $1 trillion a year more than other nations. And if you were getting the best healthcare in the world, you might say that's fine. But when you look at how we perform, life expectancy, infant mortality, maternal mortality, we are outperformed by dozens of countries. So our system performance is worse, but we pay more. Now, there would need to be some additional tax revenue somewhere. So that would probably be placed, there's a variety of ideas in terms of what that would be. Perhaps a more graduated payroll tax, taxes on unearned income such as capital gains, estate taxes, transaction taxes and stocks and things like that. So there's a lot of different ideas in terms of what that could be. So what ends up happening now with what we have is that we have many people who die and many people who suffer needlessly or people who are bankrupted because of healthcare. So that's why it has to change. And what single payer offers is a way to get out of that situation where there are no financial barriers to care. No one is going to die because you don't have insurance. And financially it makes sense because you can wring a lot of the inefficiencies out of it. So even though you're paying for more services, it will likely be less expensive.
But not everyone agrees that single payer is the magic bullet. Robert Moffat is a senior fellow in domestic policy studies at the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank based in Washington, D.C. He says it's a mammoth consideration because it would transfer all major decision-making over healthcare to federal officials.
If healthcare, is an entitlement at the point of service, in other words, free at the point of service, then, government officials are going to make all of the key decisions about who gets care, how they get care, when they get care, and under what circumstances they get care. So the key decisions in such a system are invariably political decisions. They're not necessarily medical decisions or even conventional economic decisions. They'll be decisions that are driven either by budgets or payment or pricing, government pricing, outside of any kind of independent market or any independent decision making.
At this point, do you want just a kind of a start from scratch policy?
Oh, I think ultimately, I think the idea that there would be some, let me put it this way, the idea that you can solve the problems of a healthcare sector of the economy, which is $3.5 trillion, almost 20% of the entire economy, and one big bill, which is what President Obama really tried to do, is a huge mistake. I don't think that you can do it. I think the system is too big, it's too complex to kind of try to do that. I do think we could make some very, very direct changes right now that would make things, that would loosen things up a little bit and give people more options than they have today. And one thing that I would be in favor of, strongly in favor of, is giving the states back their traditional authority, which they've exercised for about 100 years, their traditional authority over insurance. So states can try different types of things. You know, and frankly, if, you know, California or Vermont or New York want to have a single-payer system, they can do it. But they don't, you know, it will mean, though, that they're not going to force the rest of us to finance it. We're bailed them out, frankly. So I think that's, you know, I think that, you know, opening the system up from a regulatory standpoint is a good first step. The second big step is the real big one, which is to say that individuals and families should have individual tax relief for the purchase of health insurance. And they can pick and choose the plan they want without a tax or a regulatory penalty, whether that plan is offered by their employer or a trade association or a religious organization or, you know, any other type of group that would sponsor health insurance, like a union or a fraternal organization even.
What obstacles do you see in the vision that you have? What's preventing your idea?
I think the big obstacle is that an awful lot of people do very well by defending and protecting the status quo. If you do not have to face intense competition for goods and services that you're providing, that's a pretty good situation.